All right. Again, want to extend a welcome to each one of you that gathered here tonight for this evening. It'll be just a little bit different in that we will have two speakers. Owen will be speaking to us about prayer, and then Loyal will be speaking to us about Thanksgiving. So in thinking about those two words as kind of a broad, well, in broad sweeping strokes, my mind was continually drawn back to a verse in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, and I'll read it here quickly. It says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." So I see this here, just looking briefly here at two things here. We have the prayer and supplication part, and we have with thanksgiving. And I see that union of those two being an incredibly powerful thing. So starting with prayer here, we've all been taught that it's very powerful. It can move the hand of God. We have accounts like Numbers 14 with Moses pleading with God to spare the children of Israel. And we all take it seriously, I think. But one of the tendencies that I have fallen into is kind of this spouting words without meaning behind it. Or maybe, yeah, just not having my heart in it. And coupled with that, also finding that the prayer that I pray normally tends to be self-focused. What needs do I have that need to be addressed? Hey, God, I have this sickness that I have. Could you heal me? Or, hey, God, I have this problem at work. Could you fix that for me? And while I think that we need to take those things to God, God wants to hear those things. There's also another aspect, I think, that the writer here is touching on, and that is with thanksgiving. When we submit something to God, we're saying we don't have it all, but then when we bring something to God in gratitude, we're recognizing, one, that we don't have it all, and two, that probably we don't deserve it, and most likely we didn't work for it on our own strength. So just for example, praying to God aspects who he is. God is love, God is truth, God is justice. Stuff like that can help take the focus off of ourselves, off of our little needs that we have, although they may be important, and focus it back on God, on the Creator, on where everything originates from. So, not that I would like for us not to take away that we need to just bottle up our needs, and no, that doesn't matter, because our needs do matter. God does want to hear each one of our needs, but we need to be able to say what's really going on, but then also recognize that God is these things that we can't do on our own. So that is what I would like for us to be thinking about and processing as we hear from Owen and Loyal tonight. And so maybe to get our minds rolling here in that direction, in just a little bit we'll be splitting into our small groups for prayer like normal. And if we could, in your small groups, just thank God for one or two things that you're grateful for about who he is. And it doesn't have to be long, but maybe if that can be some of the focus of your prayer, that can help kind of redirect our minds back to who God is and where our identity really lies. So that's all I have for a short devotional here. But what prayer requests are on your mind?
Greetings to each one in Christ's name this evening. Grateful for each one who has come out. So, like Benjamin announced this evening, contrary to what was announced on Sunday, this will be a topic on prayer as opposed to a prayer service. So, there may be a time when I open it up for discussion, but I want to watch my time here, give Loyal the time he needs as well. So prayer, and I've decided to take the subject of prayer, combine it with Thanksgiving, like Benjamin did in his opening. And Philippians 4:6 was a verse I looked at, and thankful that Benjamin shared on that. And prayer and Thanksgiving, do they go together? Certainly. They go together like love and marriage. You know, that just, prayer and Thanksgiving go together well. I'm going to share a little story here before I start in with the subject matter, but you can figure out if it actually fits in with the topic or not. But 10 years ago, I found myself in a situation that I was pretty uncomfortable with. I found myself without a job, living in a community that was new to me, and hardly knowing anyone, and not sure where to get a new job. Anyway, I'm leaving a lot of details out for the sake of time, but I don't think they're necessary. But being without a job was a situation where I found it kind of hard to be thankful. But I didn't find it hard to be prayerful about the situation, because it did call for prayer, and we did make it a matter of prayer. I actually had to fill out a couple of job applications, which I've never had to do before. And, I've had to before, but the uncertainty of whether I'd even get the job, that was a new thing to me. Graciously, God provided a job, and I found myself in a classroom working with autistic children at a local school, and I was very grateful for that job, because then it led to further opportunities. But looking back on that, I see not only God's provision, but I look back in my life prior life experiences, and I see some of the ways God prepared me for that time. Now, how many of you here have worked at Faith Mission Home? There's a fair number of you. I look back at my time at Faith Mission Home as a good preparation for this job that I had. In fact, my time at Faith Mission led me to working at a local job at Tech Incorporated in Hutchinson for a number of years, which that helped. And then that experience really helped me with this job. So I look back and I say, you know, I never anticipated being in a situation where that time at Faith Mission and further job experiences really prepared me for a real time of need. And I see that as a way of God's providing. I'm thankful for it. I'm very thankful for it. God answered prayer, and we're grateful for the way he answered. I'd like to look at a few examples of gratitude and thanksgiving, gratitude and prayer in Scripture. I'm going to use gratitude and thanksgiving interchangeably here. Let's, if you care to, turn to the book of Job. I'll be looking just a little bit at the first couple of chapters in the book of Job. Now, was Job, if you look at Job's life, would you consider Job a man who was thankful? maybe a little hard to tell by the content of the greater part of the book. But let's take a look at the end of chapter 1. So Job 1, verses 20 through 22. And this was after all his possessions were lost, his children were killed. It says, "Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped and said, 'Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.' In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly." So in verse 20, it says he worshiped. Now, it doesn't say that he gave thanks, but he did worship. He did realize that God was still worthy of his worship, even when he'd lost everything. So you look at the next chapter, things get ramped up a bit more, and now his health is threatened. And I can't imagine Job's condition here. So at the end of chapter 2, I'm sorry, it's not quite the end. At okay, verse 10. "But he said unto her," his wife had just spoken to him, "but he said unto her, 'Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What, shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips.'" So Job recognized that God was still sovereign. God was still good. And even though the situation was terrible, now it doesn't sound like Job was very thankful at this point. But if you look at Job's life prior to this, I think he had a good foundation with gratitude in his life. Take that for what it's worth. Another example, I'd like to look at the example of King David, who I find is a very grateful person, but a person with a lot of turmoil as well. I'm going to read Psalm 42, verse 11. Psalm 42, verse 11. "Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God." So we see David talking about praise here. Do praise and thanksgiving go together? I think they do. And he was able to find reason for praise even in the midst of discouragement and apparent hopelessness. Now I'd like to turn briefly to the New Testament, and I'd like to talk about the Lord's Prayer. Now, how many of you have used the Lord's Prayer as a blessing, a mealtime blessing? Does it mention thankfulness in the Lord's Prayer at all? Are there any examples of I couldn't find any mention of thankfulness in the Lord's Prayer, but we use it as a blessing for our food, and it's sometimes. And but I do find reasons for gratitude in that prayer. Now, can we be grateful and not say it? Do I have to say thank you in order to be a thankful person? You don't have to answer that, but maybe kind of a trick question, but one for your consideration. But considering that the Lord's Prayer has no mention of gratitude or thankfulness in it, it stirred my mind to think, well, there are elements of thankfulness in there, aren't there? We recognize God's provision, for one thing. We also recognize His, well, what are some things we recognize in the Lord's Prayer?
His holy name.
His holy name, okay.
His forgiveness,
that's right.
Provision?
Deliverance?
His coming kingdom?
Coming kingdom. And all of these things are reasons to be grateful and worship. So even though it's not mentioned, we're thankful for these things. We certainly express them in our hearts when we pray the Lord's Prayer. There's more that could be said on that as well. I think I'll move now to one of the, well, a very striking story of worship and gratitude in the New Testament. This was a totally unfair situation where two men were charged with wrongdoing. Even though they hadn't done wrong, they were charged with wrongdoing. They were falsely accused. They were whipped. They were beaten. And then they were thrown into jail. Now, does anyone, maybe one of the children, have an idea who these two men were? I'll give you one more clue. They delivered a young person of an evil spirit. Now, does that help make it a little more clear in your mind? Who? Okay, which ones? I'll give you a clue here. This was in Acts. Yeah, it was in Philippi.
One other clue would be that they sang praises to God.
That's right, they sang praises to God.
Paul.
Okay, Paul is right.
Paul
and Silas, that's right. Acts chapter 15, I'm sorry, Acts 16 is where this takes place. And I can't think of a situation that would be more unfair than this one. Although Scripture has a number that are just mind-blowing. Like, why in the world would evil things happen to someone who's doing what's good and right? Here they just had delivered a servant girl who had the spirit of divination. They were falsely accused. They were beaten. They were whipped. They were imprisoned. And not only that, they couldn't even move around. Their feet were in stocks. In spite of all of that, they found reason to praise. Now, if I were in a situation like that, I would find that pretty difficult. And this prison probably was not a 21st century American prison either. The conditions were probably pretty bad, smelly, uncomfortable, dark, and yet they sang praises. And I'll read the verse where it talks about that. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. So, were they grateful? How can you be grateful in something in a situation like that? Okay, their bodies are bound, but their spirits are free.
I think Benjamin may have pointed us to the answer there. They can look at who God is and realize he hasn't changed.
Okay. Our circumstances may change, but God doesn't change. And God can hear us no matter where we're at. God isn't limited by our circumstances.
Maybe they were thinking, we came to Philippi to evangelize, and this is an exposure. This is, God's going to do something through this.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And they found an opportunity in a most unexpected way, didn't they? What was the unexpected way that God led them to a unique ministry opportunity? Do you remember what that was?
An earthquake.
Okay, an earthquake was... An earthquake got them out of there, didn't it? Or got them out of the stocks. And then what happened?
They kept the jailer from killing himself.
Okay, kept the jailer from killing himself. Very important.
Stayed put even if they could have escaped.
Okay, that's right. And what else happened? Did something happen to the Philippian jailer?
He was led to salvation.
He was led to salvation. And he was and baptized too. So that was just a night of praise, a night of worship, ending in a heathen family being saved. And you think about how God leads in all that. There's no way that Paul and Silas could have said at the beginning, this is what God is going to do. But they could look back and say, this is incredible what God did through this, and give thanks because of it. So thank you for your discussion and your input. I'd like to touch briefly on the same verse that Benjamin touched on. I'm not going to try to overlap with what he said, but I think... When I looked at this verse, be careful for nothing, or be anxious for nothing, I'm thinking, what is the word anxious or anxiety doing in the same verse with prayer and thankfulness? Well, it is in those times of anxiety that we need to be prayerful and thankful. And if I read my Bible correctly, in spite of anxiety, by having prayer and thanksgiving, it can lead to peace. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding. So, in conclusion, let's keep a heart of gratitude as we pray and as we live. God is faithful. God will hear us and direct us. Thank you. I'll turn the time over to Loyal.
Good evening. In our home, we have a tradition on birthdays to give a gift or two to the birthday child. And I'm sure this is a scene that's very familiar with you as well. And in our family, it's often more than just the birthday boy who are anticipating this and asking, when can we do presents? So finally, the gift box or bag is brought out and paper and necessary wrappings go flying and the gift is unveiled. Then sometimes there's oohs and ahs and a scurry to use it or play with it or argue about whose turn it is to use it. And in the joy of the moment, it is not uncommon that the birthday child forgets to say thank you. This tendency is really not isolated to children either. I believe we all tend to forget that the things we enjoy and so often take for granted really are a gift from God. And we too forget to tell God thank you by our words and how we live. So, why do we forget to be thankful? One reason is that we forget that every good thing we enjoy is ultimately a gift from God. My theme verses for the evening are from James 1. James 1, verses 16 and 17. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. These verses are in the context of James arguing that the temptations we experience are not from God, but rather come from our own desires and sinfulness. Sin comes from within ourselves, but every good and perfect gift comes from God. When God's beautiful gifts are compared with our own sin and brokenness, the contrast becomes much starker. James is also contrasting God as the Father of lights in contrast to the darkness of Satan, sin, and evil. 1 John 1:5. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. There are no shadows or variation of light from our Father of lights. The light we see from the sun is blocked every night by the shadows of the earth. And so, in comparison to that, God's light, his goodness and grace, his complete character, like the sun, does not change. So the sun's light, the sun doesn't change, but in the night we can't see it. And in the same way, that's with God. Our perspective changes, can change, but God doesn't change. When hard times come to us, when we are in the dark of night in our souls, it is difficult for us to see and feel the warmth of God's light and love. But our Father of lights does not change. There are no shadows or variation in his love. So I'd like to hear from you. What are some of the good and perfect spiritual gifts or spiritual blessings God gives us?
Mercy.
Peace.
His presence.
His presence.
Joy.
Joy.
Love.
Love.
Forgiveness.
A welcome that leads to rest.
A welcome that leads to rest.
Come unto me.
Come unto me. We're invited to partake of his holiness.
Adoption as children.
Promise of a life to come.
And also the promise of perfect justice. Either both now and later.
Promise of perfect justice. Okay, he shines his light into our lives, and as we respond, he sanctifies us. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to open it up broader now. What are other things, other gifts that you're grateful for? And so it can be whatever you want, but I'm just interested in hearing from you on a variety of different levels, possibly. What else are you grateful for of these good gifts?
Fellowship with believers.
Fellowship with believers.
Free country where we can worship God.
A healthy body.
A place to call home.
A place to call home.
His influence in a variety of ways.
His influence.
Mm-hmm.
Loving family.
Loving family.
Church family.
Friendships.
Sorry?
Friendships.
Friendships.
Work.
Work.
The privilege of sharing God's love with people that don't know him.
The privilege of sharing God's love with people who don't know him.
An awesome cup of coffee.
An awesome cup of coffee. Absolutely. Things in nature that inspire awe.
Scriptures in our own language.
Scriptures in our own language.
And with that, having the privilege of knowing about the Bible from our youth.
Privilege of knowing the Bible from our youth.
Godly parents.
Godly parents.
Thankful that Bo could serve in Hillcrest and that he's with us again.
Thankful that Bo could be at Hillcrest and with us again. Amen. All right. So we could keep going on and on. These things and so much more are gifts from God. We did nothing to deserve them. Another reason we tend to be grateful, we tend to be ungrateful, is our self-sufficiency. We forget it is God who gives us the ability to work, to think clearly, who gives us health, etc. I'm going to read Deuteronomy 8, starting in verse 11, a number of verses. Deuteronomy 8, verse 11. Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest, when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with his fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water, who brought you water out of the flinty rock, who led you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and test you to do you good in the end. Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers, as it is to this day. And if you forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I solemnly warn you today that you shall surely perish. Like the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you, so shall you perish because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God. So God was warning the children of Israel of their tendency to forget him after they would settle in the land of Canaan. They'd have all the food they wanted, nice houses to live in, herds and flocks and silver and gold. Kind of sounds like us. Big houses, multiple cars, good paying jobs, our freezers are full, and we have plenty of time after work to pursue hobbies and much more. Verse 17 stands out to me. Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. While we don't say it out loud, we fall into the rut of thinking, I'm the one that worked hard to make the money. I'm the one that gets the credit for my success. Verse 18 follows with the firm reminder that it is God who gives us the power to get wealth. If God wouldn't have given us healthy bodies and minds, and as Lowell talked about the other Sunday, if he wouldn't have placed us here in Reno County with strong families, our lives could look very, very different. So I'd like to hear from you. How do we guard against this mentality of self-sufficiency and self-centeredness that militates against living a life of gratitude?
Generosity.
Generosity. Indeed. Okay, verbalizing our gratitude helps to foster it. Mm-hmm.
Recognizing that self-made people don't exist.
Okay, recognizing that self-made people don't exist.
Investing in the kingdom.
Investing in the kingdom, absolutely. Rub shoulders with people who don't have it. Okay, taking time to listen. Mm-hmm. The value of repeated traditions that foster gratitude.
Mm-hmm. Along with that personal worship that reorients us towards the Father's heart.
Okay, personal worship that reorients us toward the Father's heart. Okay, doing without. Helps remind us.
Mm-hmm. From verse 11 of the passage you read, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and more. But I'm thinking now that paying attention to what he instructs us to do in the Word is, I hadn't really thought about it as harboring us towards acknowledging him and gratitude towards him, but it's tied here.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Attend visitations and funerals as a reminder that that's the direction we're all headed to. Life is temporal.
Okay, life is temporal. Attend visitations and funerals. Mm-hmm. Anything else along these lines? So this is switching subjects a little, but I didn't really talk about the things that come to us that are hard, that do not seem like the good and perfect gifts of God. Are these hard things actually gifts as well? How should we think about these things?
Sure, his parents considered him a gift from the start. I can't imagine that they denied that it was hard.
Mm-hmm. Okay, example of Linford's life being a gift, but also being hard for his parents.
We see not yet all things put under him. So we recognize that while the kingdom of God is coming, we pray that it come, we see it coming, we rejoice in its coming, we recognize that there are things that are outside of that, and some of those hard things are a result of that.
Yes, his kingdom has not fully come yet.
I believe that, but In Exodus 4, God says some striking things about making dumb mouths and so on. He takes credit for more than. I don't understand it all, but some coming to peace with what is and what's beyond our understanding is needed.
Okay. We won't understand it all. Okay. Yes, Dad.
And it seems that if we can find things to be grateful for in the midst of hard times, or aspects of that that we can be grateful for, that can be an exercise that may help us.
Okay. Finding things to be grateful for in the midst of those hard times.
I think hard times help us to treasure and value just normal stuff. And I like to think of my daughter Evie enjoying heaven, enjoying mobility and communication in ways that I never will, because I've always had it.
Mm-hmm.
And so.
Good. But even then, we will enjoy all the things we enjoyed in a way that we probably, I believe that in a way that supersedes what we've enjoyed before. But that's, I often think of that too, and I was, before Linford passed, many times just kind of excited for him that he could have that Arthur's describing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm not sure how to put this. You asked, are hard times a gift? And I think that will be answered differently depending on what people go through. Johnny Erickson Tata says, I'm grateful I had my diving accident and I am who I am today.
Wow.
Does that mean that everyone should respond like Johnny in seeing the hard things that we have as a gift, or even be grateful for them? Maybe that's the highest calling, I don't know for sure, but just to tell everybody, well, you need to sometime be able to say you're grateful and think it's a gift for a, put in the blank, the hard time you went through, I think to me is a bit of a stretch, but I do bless Johnny for that perspective.
Well, I think all of us would say that going to jail is a hard thing. You know, you lose your freedoms, and yet it's not at all uncommon for those people in jail to say this is the best thing that happened.
Scripture saying everything give thanks, but they also say giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father.
Okay. Giving thanks in all things.
For all things.
For all things, okay. Yes.
That makes me think about Corrie ten Boom and her sister Betsy, how that when they were in the concentration camp, they were left alone by the guards night after night after night as they had worship services. And it was sometime later that they discovered that the cursed fleas that were in their camp were the reason why the guards didn't want to come in there. And so they became thankful for the fleas.
Okay, thank you for those responses. I found that very helpful, very good. In conclusion, I'm going to read my theme verse again. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. I don't want to be so enamored with tearing off the proverbial wrapping paper and oohing aahing over the gifts themselves that I forget about the giver who gave them to me. I have done nothing to deserve God's amazing gifts, and I can do nothing by myself. I'm dependent on Him for everything. And I want to let these truths sink deeper into my life, and I invite you to do the same as well.